Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
From the SportsMap Radio Studios, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson. I got
that. All right, that big voice introduces us as Football Friday because we're often doing a show on Friday, but it is great to be here on a Monday because we have a Monday night football game about to kick off.
Here we go. Let's see if the Eagles can stay undefeated, the only undefeated team left in the NFL right now.
And no one would have thought, I mean, maybe some would have thought, the Eagles would be that team 8-0, but certainly the Chiefs or the Bills or somebody else would have been your pick to be undefeated about halfway through the season. 8-0. Now, they play the Commanders tonight, and certainly they come in as big-time favorites. They're likely to go 9-0. When I look at this upcoming schedule for the Eagles, they play the Commanders today. They then face Indy, which should be a win. I mean, the Colts are not a powerhouse, clearly. They've got their new coach, Jeff Saturday, but one win may be all they get, the Colts. So Eagles face Washington, Indy, Green Bay at Philly, and so... Those are three wins. They've got a good chance to be 11-0 as December begins.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. I'm so glad because I think Jalen Hurts is just, he's a real leader on and off the field. And I don't think we've seen his best football yet. I think he's still improving. You, his dad was his high school football coach, and he's a coachable kid. I mean, he's not a kid, young man. And I think there's just, we haven't even seen the ceiling on him yet, which I think that is really exciting.
Well, see, what you're implying is that there's more growth to come.
Yeah,
I agree
so.
With you. But I think what's happened with him and coming into this season, there were question marks. How far can Jalen Hurts take the Eagles? Is he really a franchise quarterback? There were even whispers, look, that could the Eagles position themselves for a quarterback in this coming year's draft? I don't think there's any question the Eagles believe in Jalen Hurts now.
100%, and so do the Philly fans, and they should. He's given them every reason to. And then you've got the Commanders and their quarterback situation on the other side. I mean, Wentz is eligible to return next week versus the Texans. He's been out with a finger injury. Shocking, an injury for Carson Wentz. Imagine that. And Taylor Heineke's going to get the start tonight, fourth in a row, and then they're going to have to decide what they're going to do. And they've got rookie Sam Howell out of UNC. It's going to be interesting.
Well, we will see this game unfold. Kickoff about to get underway. When we come back, we'll be joined by Cody Stutes, NFL expert. We're going to ask him about who the best second-year quarterback is in the NFL. That up next year on the SportsMap Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the SportsMap Radio Network.
From the SportsMap Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we promised that we would be joined by NFL expert Cody Stutes. He is here in studio with us. Cody, welcome. You're great to have you on here with Carla and me.
It's fantastic to be on the Boss of the Gloss yet again. I always enjoy my visits with you guys.
Well, we love having you, Cody, and there is so much to unpack. I mean, if we just talked about Vikings-Bills, we'd take the whole segment.
Yes.
But we got a lot to talk about. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, one question we did have teed up for you that we've been thinking a lot about is, it's been fun to watch these quarterbacks in their second year. I mean, this is a year-ago draft. Trevor Lawrence, number one. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, number three. Mac Jones taken later. Justin Fields. And, of course, the Texans' Davis Mills taken in the third round. All these second-year quarterbacks. And the hierarchy of those quarterbacks, well, we saw the hierarchy on draft day, but it has changed here. Here we're now about halfway through the second year. When you look at this pool of quarterbacks, how do you rank the top three?
How can it not be Justin Fields at the top? I mean, just
I rest my case.
Hold on, Cody. Don't feed her too much because she was touting Fields earlier and Ken Hoffman was giving her grief in the first hour. But Fields is looking really good.
He started to pass the ball well. That was the biggest thing with Justin Fields. I knew he was a dynamic runner. Everybody knew he was a dynamic runner. Before the season, fantasy football is not real football. And obviously the fantasy analysts, they identify things that are more important and are better for fantasy football than real football. But fantasy analysts were saying, look, the legs are a big danger. The legs are a big danger. If Fields ever learns how to throw the football, he's going to be a top fantasy quarterback. Well, a lot of times if you're a top fantasy quarterback, you end up being one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. The passing has come along. He's gotten Darnell Mooney involved the past couple weeks. He's gotten Cole Kmet, their tight end, who had basically no catches and no touchdowns for like 6 weeks to start the season. He's gotten him involved. That defense, if it could come along, they're going to control some games and they're going to run some games. Yes, statistically impressive, but also just controlling the games, putting the Bears in a position to be in a position to win. They did blow a big lead. Part of that was because he threw a very bad interception that he should not have thrown. But absolutely, Justin Fields is at the top for me with Trevor Lawrence right behind him. Trevor Lawrence, it's been disappointing. And the tough part is you grade Lawrence harder than you grade everybody else because he was more well thought of than all the other guys.
A once in a generation quarterback, not just the number one overall. He was a once in a generation. He was a John Elway type.
You know, part of I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Cody. Part of what watching Trevor Lawrence in college, part of what I really loved about him, seems to me could be a bit of his Achilles heel right now. That's a bit maybe holding back some of his development in the NFL. Is that I loved his calmness. He was never rocked. He was never anxious. He just went out and did. And there was no sense of urgency. And I've kind of seen that with Jacksonville, but I'm like, hang on. You played for Clemson in college. You won a national championship. You didn't have a lot of urgency. You're now with Jacksonville. You got some urgency. So I'm a little bit, I don't know. I'd love for you to speak on that.
They do have time with Trevor Lawrence. You're not moving on from Trevor Lawrence. You didn't have to find out a lot about Trevor Lawrence this year. It's his first year with Doug Peterson. There's only so much that Doug Peterson can do, and you got to remember, for all the success Doug Peterson had in Philadelphia, that amazing, incredible offensive staff is not there with Doug Peterson. Frank Reich was obviously in Indianapolis. You had some other guys off of that staff bounce around at different points in the NFL. So it's just really Doug Peterson trying to come up with a way to figure out and coach some of those things out of Lawrence. Getting some more talent around him certainly would be useful. It doesn't look great. When you sell me great and it's not great, it's very hard to be satisfied with good or solid, especially when most guys, it feels like, showcase in their second year a tremendous amount of ability or a lot of eye-popping wow moments with those guys. And Lawrence just hasn't done that yet. Part of it's his team. Part of it, the team is not succeeding, so it looks like he's not succeeding. He's had some nice moments within some of these losses, but it could be better. It could be better. When you sell me as a once-in-a-generation talent and I'm not getting that, it's very hard for me to grade you the same way that I'm grading the other guys.
And maybe we need to give him grace because the Urban Meyer year was just a complete
kind of a waste.
You-know-what show.
Kind of a waste.
So it was a waste. Yep. So this is kind of really basically, in my eyes, this is his rookie year, and then we'll see how he progresses from there.
With a whole real offseason of Doug Peterson coaching him, not like trying to figure everything out and get settled. A whole real offseason of Peterson. Let's see what Lawrence can do next year.
Yeah,
we're talking to Cody Stutes, NFL expert. Now, one quarterback who has really ascended and seemingly proven himself here this year is Jalen Hurts. And coming into the season, there were questions about whether he was really the answer in Philadelphia. Are you now convinced that he's a franchise quarterback for Philly?
I'd be shocked if they moved on from him. I'd be shocked if this got to a point where they would want to move on from him. Here's the impressive thing about Jalen Hurts. The year starts, he's fantastic, he's dynamic, he's showcasing a lot with the legs, they've improved the wide receiver room with the addition of A.J. Brown. It's a solid and very good team. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. Jalen Hurts is better than he was last year to begin the year. But Jalen Hurts now, today, right here in the middle of the NFL season, is better than the Jalen Hurts that started the year. You're seeing some of the development. Some of the quarterback gurus are saying, look at these little things in his game that have changed and adjusted from September to where we are now in November. That's the impressive thing about Jalen Hurts is he's still getting better. There's still more to get to. You're still scratching the layers to see what Jalen Hurts brings to the table as a quarterback. That's what would really excite me if I'm Philadelphia is – Well, this guy's better than last year. Well, he's supposed to be. Everybody's supposed to be better than last year.
And he's got better weapons this year.
And he's got better weapons. Everybody's supposed to be better. But he's already better than the version of Jalen Hurts from a few weeks ago, from a few months ago. That's what would really excite me in Philadelphia. He's a franchise guy, and he's a lot cheaper than some of those other franchise guys, which allows them to be very aggressive with the A.J. Browns, their offensive line, and things of that nature.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, he's in-season coaching himself to be better, which is, I mean, allowing himself to be coached and is improving in-season, which is just incredible.
A great job by Nick Sirianni and that coaching staff to be able to. A lot of guys don't improve over the course of the season. It's really hard, especially at the quarterback position, to take the time to work those things out and to have things start clicking. So a really good job by that coaching staff, who a lot of people had questions about Nick Sirianni and his coaching staff they were hired to take over in Philadelphia. And Sirianni and his crew have done a really good job.
Okay, Cody, you're talking about in-season improvements. I hate to have to bring this up, but I'm going to have to bring it up as a princess of darkness. So the Raiders.
Mm.
Okay, so they start out 0-3. Now, keep in mind they have a top, like, 8 roster. They have gotten better with the addition of Davante Adams than they were last year when they had Rick Bisaccia. An NFL team has never gone through what the Raiders have had to deal offseason last year. And Derek Carr, I think, galvanized that locker room, led those men unbelievably through the John Gruden debacle, through the Henry Ruggs, you know, where lives were lost, and he's facing felon. I mean, it's just absolutely horrific. They go to the playoffs for the first time. And this year, the roster gets better. The one thing that changes is the coach and the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
So the Raiders now off to an 0-3 start. They get shut out with New Orleans. They lose a 17-point lead 3 times, including to Jacksonville. And now, they have lost to a high school coach and an OC who has never called plays and a 37-year-old quarterback who was benched for the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What? Who has to go? What has to happen in Las Vegas? Mark Davis says Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm like, how about 9 games, buddy? Rome needs to be built in 9 games.
Here's the scary part. I know Rome can almost burn down in a day. Okay? You can really do a lot of damage 1 year really bad football. If I was Mark Davis, I'd see how the rest of these few weeks play out, and then if this continues to be one of the worst football teams in football, I've got to make a change. I've got to get rid of Josh McDaniels. I've got to move on from him. The unfortunate part is that's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money to say goodbye to him, and you still have the guy that basically walked in and convinced you to hire Josh McDaniels running your team in the general manager.
Well, they both have to go, I think.
This is a new rule in the NFL going forward for me. Never go full Patriots. Okay? Go full Patriots, okay? They hired a general manager from the Patriots. They hired an offensive coordinator from the Patriots to be their head coach. Never go full Patriots. Bill O'Brien was okay, and then he got full control in Houston. Never go full Patriots.
It's so true.
Unfortunately for the Raiders, if they end up with one of the top 2 selections, there's going to be a very difficult conversation in that building about moving on from Carr, getting significant value from him, because there's going to be some team somewhere that's going to feel like they're a quarterback away. Carr's going to be the most notable veteran that should be available, and there's going to be a very difficult conversation in that building about, okay, well, we need to change the quarterback. He may be the scapegoat if indeed ownership decides not to move on from the general manager and or the head coach. It may end up with Carr being the scapegoat, and I don't believe that would sit very well with the locker room if they decide to do that. Now, you might get a highly talented guy in there. You might get a Bryce Strong, a C.J. Stroud, something of that nature, but Carr's a proven commodity. It's very hard to have those proven commodities and move on from them, but the Raiders may feel like they need to scapegoat somebody, and maybe Carr is that guy.
And I'll tell you what, Davante Adams did not sign to Las Vegas to play for Josh McDaniels. He came for Derek Carr, period.
It'd be a very weird offseason to have disgruntled locker room, disgruntled Davante Adams, and no Carr.
Oh, I'll tell you what. And, you know, I look at Mark Davis, and I loved what Al did with that franchise. You know, as polarizing as he was, he did some really amazing things. Mark Davis does not have that football acumen to me. And I looked at when he hired Josh McDaniels, he said he loved McDaniels' in-game adjustments, even his in-series adjustments with the Patriots. Well, you would think working for the king of halftime and in-game adjustments, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels would bring that to the Raiders. But he has absolutely he's not fit for this job.
Some guys aren't cut out to be head coaches.
That's right.
He's a fantastic offensive coordinator.
Unbelievable.
And I know a lot of people put the, oh, well, Brady. Mac Jones was awesome last year. Mac Jones was one of the best rookie quarterbacks last year. Josh McDaniels was his coach. Like, McDaniels clearly can coach up offense. Brady really likes Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. He can clearly coach up offense. He just may not be the type of guy that can run an organization.
Because you have to be a leader of men, and coordinators are scheme people. I mean, mm-hmm. we're seeing it with Nathaniel Hackett. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same situation. They're brilliant in their OC coordinators, but stepping into that job to be a leader of men and to motivate them. I mean, as you saw in Derek Carr's very impassioned press conference, you know, tearful, the team is not all on the same page. That's right. On the coach.
We're talking to Cody Stoops, NFL draft expert. And when we come back, I want to get his impressions of Jeff Saturday on Saturday's first
now,
Sunday.
Jeff Sunday.
That's right, in the NFL. That'll be up next year when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and Monday Night Football now underway. And Carly, you've got a big question for Cody.
Okay, David wanted to ask you your thoughts on Jeff Saturday, who I now call Jeff Sunday after what he did to the Raiders.
You can. Here's the thing with Saturday.
He's a good guy, so I don't mean to be.
You had to imagine there was going to be an elevated level of intensity in the building with him. There's always. Be on your best behavior, try your hardest when the new guy's in the building. And he might be the coach for next year. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to shake out. Let's see how the rest of the year goes. But the move to Matt Ryan was a huge
bing,
one.
Bing.
That was a huge one.
Yeah.
It never made a lot of sense to fully bench Matt Ryan. When Ryan got hurt, maybe don't have him play Sam Ehlinger, but it never made a total sense to just totally bench Matt Ryan. He's going to be on the team next year. He's going to be the quarterback next year unless something drastic happens or they draft a young guy in Indianapolis. So moving back to Matt Ryan adds a level of professionalism. Ryan played really well. Jonathan Taylor got going again. He's healthy. That's a big thing for the Colts. Look, Saturday can only do so much. The play caller can only do so much. The players have to play well. And the defense played pretty well. That's a defense that I don't know if you know this, but when I saw this, it surprised me. They have the fourth best defense in yards allowed in the National Football League right now.
Wow, and I bet most people don't know that.
And that's without their star
with
linebacker, Shaquille Leonard,
right.
Who's been out for most of the year, which, by the way, he should go back to Darius Leonard because he was a much better player when he was Darius.
He's just dropped the Shaq.
It's been all bad when he's been Shaq Leonard, but. Let's see how Saturday does with the rest of the schedule. I believe the Eagles are next up for
They're
them.
They're next, yeah.
Let's see if Saturday can make some things happen through with some of the other opponents that they have on there. You win one game, there's a lot of guys that can win one game. Okay?
Sure. Well, and against the lowly Raiders. And let's not forget the fact that the Raiders coach, Josh McDaniels, left Indy at the altar 4 years
sure.
ago.
Sure.
There's a little bit of that, too, I have a feeling.
There was a lot of extra around this game.
Sure.
Let's see how you handle a win. Let's see how you coach up after a win. Let's see how you can continue some of that momentum. Can you continue some of that momentum? There's still a lot of questions about Jeff Saturday. He answered one, can he win? Let's answer the next one. Can you win again?
I love it.
We're talking to NFL expert Cody Stoops. I want to ask you about the hometown team here, the Houston Texans.
We had to go there.
Well, they seem on track to have the number one overall pick. Is there any mystery they'll take a quarterback? And then who would it be?
There's going to be a really big discussion in the draft process about C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young. And C.J. Stroud is taller, he's heavier, he's thicker, and Bryce Young's just better. Bryce Young is better. In my opinion, Bryce Young is better. Bryce Young is having this level of success with one of the least talented Alabama teams that we've seen in recent memory.
Who has the worst offensive coordinator in all of college football. I had to go there.
And he doesn't even have a good offensive coordinator. That's a great point. I mean, look at what C.J. Stroud's working with. C.J. Stroud is working with guys who are going to be top picks on the offensive line. He's working with a guy who, a year from now, we will be talking about the potential of Marvin Harrison Jr. being the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. That is a teammate of C.J. Stroud's. There may be guys on Bama that are playing wide receiver that aren't going to make NFL rosters. Like, think about that. Think of this run they've had with wide receivers. None of those guys are there with Bama right now. Young has something that is really hard to teach. It's the calmness. It's the coolness under pressure. And he uses his mobility as an addition to his game. It is not a priority in his game. He runs when he has to. He moves around in the pocket when he has to. He extends plays when he has to. Not because he wants to, but because he has to. He doesn't make that a priority in his game. He's not one of these read one, take off guys. He's not one of these guys that just runs for the sake of it or bails out of good plays. He sticks around. He uses his legs as a weapon. Bryce Young, to me, is the guy. It's going to be very hard to ignore the groundswell for Bryce Young because I do believe Bama's going to have a pretty successful end of season. I don't know if he's going to play in the bowl game, but if he does, he should have pretty good numbers. He's a very, very good football player, former Heisman Trophy winner, of course, as well. Stroud's going to get the measurables. Stroud's going to have the statistics that are going to be more impressive than what Young brings to the table. And it may just be simply some people may prefer the bigger, stronger, faster athlete to the better player. Not me. I prefer Bryce Young. I don't care if he measures in at 5'9", 170. The guy can play ball. I see it every Saturday.
Well, we see it every Saturday. This is what I want to ask you, Cody, with Alabama, who is always stacked. I mean, this may be one of the least stacked teams we've seen in the last decade with Alabama, but still, relative to pretty much everyone else in college football, other than Georgia and Ohio State, they are fully stacked.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans are not stacked.
No.
And they may be without Brandon Cooks, who is their top receiver. I mean, his captaincy was stripped this week, and I want to ask you what you thought about that, too. But how would he do being, you know, smaller in stature, not having the protection he has at Alabama, not having the weapons he has, if he came to the Texans?
The big positive for him is that offensive line situation is actually not terrible for the Texans. I know they didn't play well against the Giants, the interior didn't, but the tackles, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard played fantastic against a pretty nasty Wink Martindale defense.
Sure.
Typically, Wink Martindale gets after the quarterback from the edges. He had to get there from the middle of the defense. It was the guard position and the center position. I believe they'll address the center position either in free agency or the draft. Kenyon Green's going to be in his second year. One real offseason of football is going to do wonders for him. AJ Cann's a veteran player, provides a solid. He'd have a nice protection. He doesn't have a lot of talent. He won't have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But Nico Collins is the arrow's pointing in the right way for him to be a number two wide receiver. They'll have to go get a number one. I agree with you. Brandon Cooks will not be on the team next year. So they'll have to go get a top wide receiver, maybe in free agency, kind of like what the Jaguars did when they signed Christian Kirk. Or maybe you go trade for one of these wide receivers that gets disgruntled in another spot, or just simply draft somebody. Have that guy come in with the quarterback along the lines of what the Bengals did a couple years ago. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase is on that team, but people forget they drafted Joe Burrow and T. Higgins in the same year, and they got to build that nice base, and there was some familiarity with the wide receiver when Ja'Marr Chase showed up. Oh, by the way, John Mechie's familiar with Bryce Young. John Mechie's going to know him. There's some familiarity there. So you kind of have the slot situation figured out when Mechie gets healthy. Nico Collins is the number two wide receiver. You do need a number one, and you've got a good running back. You need some tight end help. That can be addressed in free agency later in the draft as well. It's not as barren, and there's ways to address it right away if you are the Texans. Plus, whatever you get from Cooks, you can use that to turn around and invest it right back in the offense as well, because I do believe Brandon Cooks is out of here. For whatever reason, he felt like the team was going to be better, and he's not getting his numbers, so he's unhappy, and by virtue of that, you just got to move on from that type of guy. I wish it would have happened at the deadline. It's harder to make the trade they're going to have to make in the offseason. They'll still do it, but it's going to be harder, and the compensation's not going to be as high.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a tough spot. Brandon Cooks wanted to be traded. I think the Texans would have been happy to trade him, but he had the monster contract.
$18 million.
Yep. $18 million, and teams would have had to take that on, or the Texans would have absorbed some of that. I would have loved to have seen the Texans absorb a good chunk of it in order to get more draft capital, but Casera didn't bite on that kind of idea.
I don't know why either, because I would, if I was a general manager, I'll take $10 million or $15 million in a dead cap hit for a second round pick every year. Just go ahead. I'll write you a $15 million check for a second round pick just to have the option to draft one of those players, because you got to think what a second round pick is. Yes, it's a $15 million and then the cost of the second-round pick, but that second-round pick is a cheap football player for four seasons.
That's right.
Four seasons. He's a cheap football player if he's a good football player. It was worth the risk. Casario stood on his laurels. Seems like he made a mistake. And he's still probably going to have to eat some of the money in the offseason. So where did we really get? Well, you got 7 weeks, 8 weeks of a disgruntled football player on your team. That was probably not great for your organization. But if you can get something similar to what we believed they were going to get, it's going to be okay. If you have to take a lot less, that's going to be a big miss for Nick Casario.
We're talking to NFL draft expert Cody Stoops. We've got about a minute remaining. I want to ask you about Odell Beckham Jr. He has now been 9 months in recovery and seemingly poised to come back to the NFL. Do you have a favorite team where he should land?
The Cowboys got to give him a call. That would be the first one that I would think it makes a lot of sense there. Odell gets to be on the national stage, gets to put the star on his helmet. If I was Odell, I wouldn't make my decision yet. I'd let some more things start to play out and just kind of see. Odell's trying to get with a winner. Odell's not trying to just get opportunity. He's trying to get with a winner. So I'd let some more things play out before I made a decision. But the Cowboys should try very hard to make Odell Beckham a Cowboy.
You heard it here.
Now, when we come back, we're going to shift to some college football. We're going to look at TCU's big win over Texas. And are they legit? That up next year when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. It is David Gow and Carla Dawson, The Boss and the Gloss. And in studio with us is NFL expert Cody Stutes here
All
in
football
Houston.
Football expert Cody Stutes.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little college football now, and he's an expert on such matters as well. And coming out of last weekend, at least locally here, the TCU-Texas matchup was a big one. TCU came out on top of the Longhorns, and TCU now in the Final Four. I think they've got a chance to win out and take the Big 12 and head into that college football playoff. Are you all buying on TCU right now?
They did clinch the Big 12 championship berth with that win over Texas.
Yeah, they'll be in the finals.
They finally faced the opposing team's starting quarterback, who was healthy, and defeated him.
Yeah.
It felt like week after week after week they either faced the starting quarterback who was not healthy in the Oklahoma State situation, or they faced a backup quarterback and had a tremendous amount of success against the backup quarterback, and or the starter got hurt in the game, like when my Red Raiders played TCU. This is a really, really good team. I really like Sonny Dykes.
I do too.
This is a guy that was almost a coach in Texas a bunch of different times before he ended up at SMU and then obviously made the jump to TCU. And really good coach. He's had some success at some low-level programs.
He kind of overachieved at Cal with some
of the restrictions they put on him. He's fantastic at La Tech. Really, really good coach. And that's a team that Texas teams end up with a lot better talent top to bottom than some other teams because you get leftovers in the state of Texas from recruiting. Even though they're not four stars and five stars, you get three star and two star guys that would be four star and five star guys in other states across the country. So TCU draws on that. They've done a fantastic job and they've just really gutted it out a couple of different times. This last game felt a lot more like Texas just stunk than TCU was amazing. Like Texas not running the football against a three man front. That's horrific. How do you not do? They have one of the best running backs.
Less than 200 yards on the ground. That's it.
You have one of the best running backs in the nation in Bijan Robinson.
Yep.
And you're not running the football against the TCU team that was in the 70s in total defense heading into this game. So it's a bad job. TCU wins out, and they win the Big 12 championship, and they're undefeated Power 5 teams will not be denied entry into the college football playoff. That's just not something that the committee is prepared to do. And with expansion on the horizon, it wouldn't make sense to leave out one of these undefeated Power 5 teams. And TCU has certainly the ability to do that.
Yeah, which is so exciting. I want to ask you, Cody, about the situation in Austin with Sarkisian at the helm. So I looked at their best win was a loss to Alabama early on in the season. To me, that was Sark's best chance for a statement win because he was the OC in Alabama. He recruited those guys. He coached Bryce Young. I mean, he knew this team intimately.
Sure.
And he still couldn't get it done. Albeit it was close. There were some calls that could have been questionable. Anyway, doesn't get it done. Now, TCU comes into Austin. And guess who's on the Longhorn staff? Gary Patterson, longtime coach of the Horned Frogs. Once again, Texas is sitting there with the advantage, with the playbook, with the schemes, knowing the players well. All of that still can't get it done. Tell me what this says, if anything, about Sark and his coaching staff at Texas.
I was really disappointed with Sark not going to Hudson Card in that game. Quinn Ewers did not look like
he couldn't complete even half of his passes, not even 50%.
He didn't look like the bazillion-dollar quarterback that he's supposed to be. He didn't look like that guy. And Hudson Card. I don't know. You don't have to bench a guy to go to the backup in the middle of a game. A guy's having a bad day, go to the backup. Happens to starting pitchers in baseball all the time. All right, guy's having a bad day, go to the bullpen. Guy's having a bad day, go to the backup quarterback. He can still be your starting quarterback the following week. Really disappointed with that. Sark doesn't have a lot of quality stuff on his resume at Texas. But
Amen.
They're not losing recruits because NIL is going to keep those recruits flush, is going to keep those recruits rich. And so they're not going to lose a ton of recruits. He's got to coach better. He has got to coach better. He's got to do better in game. He's got to do better with adjustments. And then once he gets the talent in the building, he's got to coach them up as well. Or you could be looking at another situation like Texas A&M where,
that is a fiery one.
Where you've got a guy who's making a lot of money, you got a guy who's getting a lot of recruits, and a guy who's not winning a lot of games. The standard in Texas, or at Texas, the hope at Texas certainly, is win a whole bunch of games, play for some national championships, and if you can't get it going here in the last days of the Big 12, how do you get it going in the SEC? That's the big question that I would have if I was a Texas fan and Sark's my coach.
Agreed. And you know, Sark coached my alma mater at USC. I saw that debacle. He didn't do great at Washington. I'm like, why does UT think it's going to be different now? I don't know. I think it's confusing. And I love that you touched on Jimbo Fisher, because tell me, Cody, how in the world has A&M gone from starting the year top 10, 6 or 7 in the country, with one of the greatest recruiting classes ever, to 3-7, and they're going to be watching the bowl season from home? And not only did they lose to an interim-coached Auburn team that's reeling, but they have now taken the place of last place in the SEC West. I mean, please tell me this. And Jimbo Fisher is fully guaranteed for 10 years, $95 million.
This is one of the most disappointing seasons of college football in the history of college football. I believe it's only the second time ever that a team has the number one recruiting class and ends up with a losing record the following season after that.
They're 3-7.
It almost never happens. They have the least wins in the SEC. Vanderbilt has more wins than Texas A&M. That is not something that should ever be the case. And for the Aggies, because of the contract, they're in a position where they can't move on from Jimbo Fisher. It's too expensive. You almost have to give him the opportunity to right the ship himself. They got a couple more games. They'll finish out this season. They're not going to beat LSU to finish the season.
Oh, gosh,
and even then, that's not going to salvage anything for them if they beat LSU. It's still an extremely disappointing season for them. He's got to hope that NIL and his recruiting prowess comes through, and that a bunch of those kids that they recruited last year stick around, improve, get better. Oof. And Jimbo has to hire a new offensive mind. He has to modernize his offense. He has to go hire somebody. I would call Joe Brady, the quarterback's coach at Buffalo.
Yep.
I'd call him. And on the very weird chance that Cliff Kingsbury gets fired from the Arizona job,
it could happen.
Cliff Kingsbury called plays in College Station when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy. Cliff Kingsbury absolutely may not be a great football coach in the National Football League. Cliff Kingsbury absolutely can OC a team at the college level, and maybe he could do better than being the OC at Texas A&M, but Jimbo has got to find somebody to modernize and change the way that they play offense, or he'll be going nowhere again next year.
Exactly, and you know what worries me about that, Cody, because you're 100% right. It's going to cost A&M more money one way or another, because they either have to cut ties with Jimbo Fisher, which would be admitting a major catastrophe financially and everything, and have to pay him because it's fully guaranteed, or they're going to have to pay more money for someone who knows how to call plays. And will Jimbo Fisher's ego allow them to do that? Or does the AD, can he just say, this is what we're doing?
Jimbo's going to be able to call all the shots. And not only that, but if you get rid of Jimbo, he doesn't have any mitigation in his contract, so he gets the money no matter what.
Right.
So if he goes and gets another job somewhere else and it goes and be successful somewhere else, he's getting to double dip. He gets both the contracts. They're going to have to spend some money, find one of the best offensive minds in all of football, and bring him to College Station and try to change things. And that's a small cost if they can right the ship and make Jimbo Fisher look good again. It's just, will Jimbo do that when he goes on that search? I mean, I think famously, you think about some of the times at LSU where they've gone and searched for offensive minds and it hasn't worked. Replacing Joe Brady, Ed Orgeron went out there and searched, but didn't really search very hard, and things were terrible.
He was busy right with some youngsters.
Yes, he was a little
so
busy.
There's that.
He had the divided attention.
Carly remembers that.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And so will Jimbo, if he does go hire somebody, will he actually go hire somebody that's going to do his own thing? Or will he hire a disciple that does some of the same things that he does and turn things over to somebody that he knows and he's comfortable with? It's going to take something being uncomfortable for Jimbo Fisher, or things are going to get really uncomfortable in Aggieland.
I mean, how he's not uncomfortable to this day, I don't know.
Well,
wow.
That's because the checks are going to keep rolling
well,
in no matter
right.
what.
That's right. You're spot on.
We're talking to Cody Stutes, radio show host at KFNC Houston. Let's shift gears and look out west. USC right now, a top 10 team with one loss. They might be the class of the Pac conference. Can you envision a way they get into the Final Four here? They could win the Pac. They could then find their way in. I mean, they would be a Power 5 champion, albeit not an undefeated one.
It's not really hard, but it's not super easy either. The Pac-12 doesn't get the level of credit that some of these other conferences do when they start to play each other really tough and they sort of cannibalize each other. Like, I mean, some of the success that the lower teams have had against the upper teams, you know, Washington upsetting Oregon as, you know, Oregon's double-digit favorites going into that contest this past weekend. The Pac-12 doesn't get a lot of credit there. So you don't get the same credit of, you know, moseying through the Pac-12 that you would if you go through the SEC or even the ACC.
Well, and Oregon losing by 48 to Georgia to start the season did not help.
That is certainly not great. What you're rooting for if you're USC is you really need Georgia to be an undefeated SEC champion, because a one-loss Georgia, whose only loss is the SEC championship, they're going to steal a spot. They're going to be sort of a non-champion. A non-champion member of the college football playoff. That would lead to likely LSU being in the college football playoff. So LSU and Georgia, if LSU beat Georgia in the SEC championship. So you need undefeated Georgia in the college football playoff. Undefeated TCU, boom, there's two. The winner of the Big Ten, there's three. And then it's USC with one loss in a conversation against perhaps the winner of the ACC with one loss. It's not totally out of the question that North Carolina finds themselves in the conversation.
Weird. I know.
Drake May, their quarterback, is fantastic.
He was ridiculous this week, and those numbers are insane.
He is statistically super impressive. He'll find himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation. And if North Carolina is the one-loss champion of the ACC with the Heisman Trophy winner or Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, that's going to be a very interesting conversation, maybe them versus USC. I like USC more. I like the running through the Pac-12 more than going through the ACC more this year. So I'd put USC in. They've got to take care of their business. There's still hiccups. There's still landmines on the schedule.
And they've lost Travis Dye, their number one back, which is really devastating.
He's fantastic. They're going to have to find some way to run the football without him. Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley, that's a tandem that can get you there.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do if they get into the playoff, but yes, they can absolutely make it to the playoff.
Okay, can we just look at freshman quarterback you mentioned for UNC, Drake May's numbers this weekend against Wake Forest? 448 yards, 3 touchdowns, 19 rushes for 71 yards, and a touchdown.
Drake May's got a conversation to be a number one. He's got a 1-1 conversation. Obviously, he's not available for the draft in the upcoming year, but he's got the ability to play himself into that number one overall pick category. And my goodness, how about Mac Brown's ability to go out there and find quarterbacks? He couldn't find them at Texas for the longest time.
He kind of gave up.
He couldn't find them at Texas, but he had Sam Howell for 3 years. Sam started as a true freshman, was fantastic. Now he's got Drake May. He's been fantastic. And meanwhile, Jimbo Fisher over there in Aggieland can't find himself a quarterback to save his life. And Mac Brown,
he's hoarding him over there in North Carolina.
Yeah, 7-million-year-old Mac Brown can find a quarterback and just play him right away, and they're fantastic.
Amazing stuff. Cody Stutes has been joining us here on set. Cody, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your insights today.
Anytime.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And John, you'll note this. It's just awkward. I sit next to Carla here, and you can see on her face, she's
That's
sort of somber.
Awkward.
You're
That's-
somber.
You know, this Raider talk, I just, as a princess of darkness, this is killing me. We lost to an ESPN analyst who's only coached at the high school level. I'm really, I need me a drink, boss, right now.
You need a drink?
I do.
Let me tell you where to go. I'll tell you where to go.
But I need one.
This entire holiday season, you can find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon, Cabernet, Chardonnay, or the perfect gift for everyone on your list comes from Total Wine and More. They have also a very helpful, friendly gift guide there. And you can walk in there with all the confidence of knowing that you will find something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find, only at Total Wine & More. Delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly and be 21.
Well, good thing that team's in Las Vegas because I'm going to need Total Wine.
I think you'll be going to Total Wine & More after this segment. You need a little drink on your way home.
Yeah, just give me the brown bag. I don't even need anything fancy. Let's do it.
I understand. Give that woman a cocktail. All right, one team that doesn't need a cocktail is the Eagles. They are up on the Commanders 14-7 early in the game. Eagles looking to go 9-0, they are the only undefeated team. And I don't know, this will be fun to see how deep they can take this into the season.
I think it will be exciting. And I love that, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the ceiling, I don't think we've seen it yet for Jalen Hurts. He just keeps getting better and better with each game. And I think Ron Rivera's got some interesting decisions to be making going forward. They brought in Carson Wentz, took a $27 million cap hit to bring him in. Mm. And he has not cemented that job as their starter.
No, and some have thought that Ron Rivera is on the hot seat there because he didn't get much out of Carson Wentz. Well, Carson Wentz has never been that prolific anywhere.
And he's not on the field very often either.
Well, yes, so he's injured now. He will be back. They think he'll be available next week. And so they have a decision, Tyler Heinicke or Carson Wentz, which would be very fascinating to see which direction they go.
And they're facing Houston, so that's a good thing for Carson Wentz.
It's almost a sure win, the one win, Houston, Texas.
There we go.
All right, it's been great to be with you here on a Monday night special.
You too, boss. Always good.
You've been
John,
listening
thank you.
To the Boss and the Gloss. John behind the glass, really appreciate it. We will be back on, a week or so from now. You've been listening to the Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.